Welcome to Merely Catholic with me, Gavin Ashenden. The assassination of Archbishop Oscar Romero as he celebrated Mass in El Salvador in 1980 sent shockwaves around the world. It was hard to believe that a dictatorship would go to such lengths to silence a Catholic archbishop defending his people from state control and abuse. But the brutal drama of his martyrdom only serves to highlight the danger to other Catholic critics in South American dictatorships. Bishop Alvarez in Nicaragua has similarly been defending his people, their human rights, and the rights and the integrity of the Catholic Church in the face of growing threats and oppression from the Ortega regime. In May 2022, he announced he was beginning a hunger strike to protest against police harassment. In the video, he explained he was being followed by police constantly, and the fact that this was now affecting his family also led him to take action. At one point, he said, "I asked the police why they were there. They told me it was for my own safety. But we know that in this country, insecurity comes precisely from the police. They were the ones making me feel unsafe. I will fast until such a time as the police, through the president or vice president of the bishops' conference, and only them, inform me they will begin to respect the privacy of my family." In December, Bishop Alvarez was charged with conspiracy for undermining national integrity and propagation of false news through information and communication technologies to the detriment of the state and Nicaraguan society. He was arrested, and in February this year, 2023, the government announced that he'd been declared a traitor, stripped of his citizenship, and sentenced to 26 years in prison. Bianca Jagger, born in Nicaragua, is well known not only for having been married to Mick Jagger, but also for her own work as a human rights activist. She serves as a Council of Europe Goodwill Ambassador, and she's the founder and chair of the Bianca Jagger Human Rights Foundation. She's been working tirelessly to defend Bishop Alvarez in his imprisonment and doing all she can to use her profile and her organisation to energise the Catholic Church and others concerned for human rights to put pressure on the Ortega government to release him. She joins me now. Bianca, thank you very much for joining me in this conversation. And thank you, too, for your defence of Bishop Alvarez. You've drawn my attention to some photographs that have been taken by the regime, which show him really in far worse condition than before he was arrested. But would you mind telling people, first of all, what happened to Bishop Alvarez in Nicaragua, and why you found yourself supporting him so enthusiastically, why you want to draw his attention to the plight of Catholics and people the world over?
Bishop Rolando Alvarez Lago, who is the bishop for the Diocese of Matagalpa, is a prophetic man whose only crime has been to predicate the word of Jesus Christ. His only crime has been to denounce the crimes against humanity, the serious violation of the Ortega Murillo regime, who is a man that is loved across all walks of life in Nicaragua. This is not a man that is only loved by the Catholics. He's loved by agnostics. He's loved by people from other religions. He's loved by the campesinos, what you call in English to be politically correct, but I disagree, a poor farmer, or really the word is a peasant. He's loved. He had an incredible joie de vivre, joy and love of life, and he used to really dance and sing with the people because he was a man of the people, a very eloquent and a very I call it the martyrdom of Bishop Rolando Alvarez. I would show you a couple of photographs of how was Monsignor Rolando Alvarez.
The photographs that we have, which we'll have to describe in word pictures since people are listening to a podcast, are of a very healthy, middle-aged man who looks in very good condition spiritually and physically.
Exactly, you know, and he used to wear his regalia as a bishop, you know, so well. You know, he used to wear these colorful robes, and as well, there is all the photograph of Monsignor with the people of the poor farmers, traveling with them and being loved by them. And the photograph that the regime has recently released, 34 photographs, which to try to prove that Monsignor Rolando Alvarez had a preferential treatment. And they violate his fundamental rights by showing photograph of him when he's opening his mouth to show a doctor his tongue, when they're taking blood from his arms, when they take in his blood pressure. But what the government managed to do is that this photograph really backfired to them, because instead of showing that there is a preferential treatment to Monsignor Alvarez, what it shows is the deterioration of Monsignor Alvarez's health. He has lost considerable amount of weight. He looks forlorn. This is no longer the man full of joy and laughter. It's obvious that he was not consenting to this photograph being taken, that it was being done against his will, but he always maintained an extraordinary dignity. But you can see as well that he is not there, that they are beginning to break his spirit. And that, I think, is the intention of the regime. But for me, my fear is that the life of Monsignor Rolando Alvarez is at stake, and that there have been other political prisoners who have mysteriously died in jail. He is being condemned. He was condemned to 26 years and 4 months on the 10th of February of this year. And the reason why he was condemned to 26 years was simply because when Daniel Ortega expelled 222 political prisoners to be expelled to the United States, when they brought him without knowing where he was being brought up, because he was in house for arrest at the time, they offered him to board the plane that was taking the other political prisoners, and he said no. He didn't want to leave Nicaragua. He was prepared to serve the sentences of all the 222 political prisoners. And what Daniel Ortega, because he spoiled the coup of publicity that he wanted to show that he had released these political prisoners. But the truth is that it wasn't a release. What he did was expel them. It was strip them of the nationality and confiscate all their wealth. And Monsignor Alvarez was the next day, on the 10th of February, he was brought to a trial, a spurious trial, without any due process. He was accused of being a traitor of the nation. He was condemned to 26 years and 4 months, and also stripped of his Nicaraguan citizenship. And he has been there since. The family has rarely been allowed to visit him. The first time, the regime brought a crew to film him and as well to take photograph of him. He already there showed that he had lost some weight. And then there is the new photo where he shows that he has lost a considerable amount of weight and that his health is very deteriorated. The fact is that he has come to be known that Monsignor Alvarez has been sick, that they didn't provide him with medical attention, and is the reason why the regime wants to do this farce to deceive the public, to make them believe that Monsignor Alvarez is receiving a preferential treatment. It is the reason why recently I went to Brussels, where the Vice President of the European Union, Dita Sharantsova, held organized an event with a human rights defender called Tamara Suzhou that has a campaign to support and to give their attention to political prisoners throughout the world. And when she asked me if I wanted to be the godmother of someone, she has godmothers and godfathers, I said, of course, I will be the godmother of Monsignor Alvarez, as well as 10 political prisoners who were at the time in jail in Nicaragua. And those, in fact, 12 political prisoners, priests who were in jail in Nicaragua, were also recently expelled out of the country, and they were sent to the Holy See, to the Vatican in Rome. But Monsignor Alvarez, of course, was not released and was not allowed. Now, one of the arguments of the regime is to say that Monsignor Alvarez doesn't want to leave the country. It is true that Monsignor Alvarez didn't want to leave Nicaragua. He wanted to stay with the people of Nicaragua. But in view of the fact that his health is declining and that his life is at stake, he has said that if the Pope gave him an order to leave the country, he will be willing to leave the country. So that is what should be happening. I hope that His Holiness Pope Francis will publicly say that he has given orders to Monsignor Alvarez to leave and that the regime will allow him to leave the country. When I was in Brussels, I spoke at this event where they had a replica of a cell, and I spoke and I showed the photograph to the public, and I called for the immediate release of Monsignor Alvarez. I call as well for a proof of life, which I have been calling for from the very beginning, and also for the International Red Cross, the ICRC, to be able to give unfettered access to check how is the health and the mental state of Monsignor Alvarez. But until now, the regime has done none of that. And of course, it needs for the Ortega Murillo regime, without any condition, an unconditional release, an immediate and unconditional release of Monsignor Alvarez. There is a terrible persecution of the Catholic Church in Nicaragua. As I'm saying to you, there's been a great number of priests, of nuns who either have been expelled, not allowed to come back to the country, and who have had to flee the country. And today in Nicaragua, people are frightened to even go to a church. It's come to my attention that someone has ordered them that they cannot mention any priest who will dare to mention the name of Monsignor Rolando Alvarez is put in jail. They're not allowed to pray for him. In Nicaragua, we have something which is a celebration of the Virgin Mary, like they have in Spain. It's called La Purísima, the Virgin that for 8 days the people come out and celebrate and sing and pray. That, of course, has not been allowed. People during the Easter were not allowed to have the processions that we have in Nicaragua. There is a real persecution, a serious and dangerous persecution of the Catholic Church in Nicaragua today.
Bianca, thank you very much. Why is the regime so frightened of Monsignor Alvarez and the Catholic Church?
I will say that Monsignor Alvarez's prophetic voice is probably very threatening for the regime. Daniel Ortega and Rosario Murillo have put in jail the political opponents who were what we call the pre-candidates that were supposed to participate in the election in Nicaragua. Any political person, any students that have opposed them, any woman leader, any leader in the country are either in jail, because there are more than 100 people in jail today, or have been expelled and stripped of the nationality. The few voices that are left are the voices like Monsignor Alvarez, which of course has been shut down, put in jail. First, he was, before put in jail, he had been kidnapped and kept in the Curial House. They did that last year, so it's been a long time. The fear that these extraordinary men, these men of God, who the people of Nicaragua love, and that who has the courage to stand up to them and denounce them, and who has the courage and who has the moral authority to be someone respected and loved by the people of Nicaragua. That's what they fear. There was someone else, which is another extraordinary bishop, which is called Bishop Silvio Báez, who was ordered to leave the country by Pope Francis, because the regime was threatening his life and he has been attacked. And today he is in Miami, and he is probably one of the most powerful voices against the regime. When we talk about these two great individuals, we're not talking only about the Catholics of Nicaragua. And of course, we are a country that is predominantly Catholic, but that I love across all walks of life, who are articulate, who are courageous, who are valiant, and who really represent the people of Nicaragua much more than any political leader. And that is the irony of this. I think that the people of Nicaragua trust much more these two bishops than they trust any political leader in or out of Nicaragua.
South America has been a place of political turmoil for some time, and the Catholic Church has played a very important role representing the people in the face of oppression. How long has the Catholic Church exercised this role in Nicaragua in particular? Is it come to prominence simply as a way of standing up to Ortega? But what's the longer term history of the Catholic Church politically in relation to human rights in Nicaragua?
Well, I must be frank with you, because it is difficult to analyze the Catholic Church as being homogeneous in Nicaragua. It's been there for a long time. During the Sandinista Revolution, you had two priests who were part of the government, but who very soon denounced the regime of Daniel Ortega. That was an extraordinary poet that was called Ernesto Cardenal, a very close friend of mine, someone that I admire not only as a priest, but also as a great poet of Nicaragua and of the Spanish language, and his brother, who was a rector in a university in Nicaragua. But you had as well, during the Contra War, probably the most prominent Contra leader in the country was a bishop who Jean-Paul II made a cardinal to protect him, and who was called a Cardinal Obando y Bravo. It just happened that the many rumors about what happened to Cardinal Obando Bravo, because when Daniel Ortega was running for president, Cardinal Obando Bravo, for some reasons, the many rumors, the reason why, overnight became a supporter of Daniel Ortega. He campaigned behind Daniel Ortega, and Daniel Ortega got married with Rosario Murillo and pretended to be a Christian and began to speak more like a preacher rather than a Sandinista or a political leader. In exchange for that, Daniel Ortega introduced a legislation against abortion on all cases, including rape. And he played a very controversial role, because he was in many ways instrumental in helping Daniel Ortega be elected, even if all his participation in the election have all been questionable. And I think Daniel Ortega really has changed the constitution, has dismantled all legal institutions, but has changed the constitution to be able not only for the, like three times. Once was because in Nicaragua, the constitution used to say that one should run only once. Then he made it that he could run more than once. And then the last one is that Daniel Ortega can run for president for life. And of course, these are all elections that are fraudulent, where he puts the political opponents in jail. And then later on, he expels them of the country and strips them of the nationality. And so today, for example, I will say that I wish the Cardinal, Leopoldo Brenes, will be advocating publicly for the release of Monsignor Alvarez. I wish that Cardinal Brenes will be visiting Monsignor Alvarez in jail. I wish that he will be bringing him communion, bringing him the Bible, really being concerned for him. I wish that he will be more outspoken, and I wish he will condemn Daniel Ortega and Rosario Murillo, but perhaps he knows that his life will be in danger and that he will end up in jail as well, like Monsignor Rolando Alvarez, if he did it.
You've been a passionate publicist of Monsignor Alvarez's position, both in Europe and on the internet and in the press. How much support have you found from other Catholics for this, what is effectively a political martyrdom and may become more than that? Have you found people sympathetic to wanting to support you in bringing pressure on the regime, insofar as it can be, to bear in his defense?
I have indeed found support for Monsignor Alvarez, not only by members of the U.S. Congress. There is a congressman who has held various hearings about Monsignor Alvarez and the persecution of the church. His name is Chris Smith. In his last hearing, the latest one, not long ago, he had two priests that testify anonymous about how the government wanted to implicate Monsignor Alvarez and accuse him that he was part of a conspiracy to overthrow the government, which of course is absolutely false and is a lie, simply to try to justify the fact that he puts him in jail. And recently, when I was in Brussels, I went to lobby members of the European Parliament. I went on to speak with members of the European Union. All of them are supportive of Monsignor Alvarez. All of them are very conscious that here you have a man of God who's been incarcerated and whose life is at stake, and that it is necessary for them to do everything to be able to get the regime to release them. I must say that I know that the Vatican and the Catholic Church likes to do negotiations quietly, and that they have used various countries to intercede or to play a role to see if they could convince Daniel Ortega, including the Cubans. They asked, I think, publicly, because he said President Lula, the Pope asked him, or at least Lula said that he had asked him to intercede before the regime of Daniel Ortega and Rosario Murillo, as well as the Colombian. And none of that has worked. It has come to my attention that perhaps at the moment, the government of Canada is trying to intercede on behalf of Monsignor Alvarez at the request of the Holy Seed. I hope it's true. I wish, I pray, that one day His Holiness, Pope Francis, will pray for Nicaragua, will pray for the Catholic Church in Nicaragua, will mention Monsignor Alvarez just the way he has mentioned the people of Ukraine. And sometimes I wonder, why not Nicaragua? I know we are a very small country, and lo, we are only 6 million inhabitants. I know that in the scheme of the geopolitical situation today in the world, we will see what is happening to Ukraine, the invasion by the Russian. I know what is happening in the Middle East and the horrific scenes that we're seeing every day of what is happening to the Palestinians in Gaza. I know that perhaps to many people, Nicaragua is insignificant, but it's not. The people of Nicaragua are living today in a big jail. They are really prisoners of this terrible, brutal, cruel, corrupt, and criminal couple, Daniel Ortega and Rosario Murillo.
If Pope Francis did, as you've suggested and asked, talk about Nicaragua, did talk about his bishop imprisoned there, do you think that it would have much effect on the regime, or would it galvanize global opinion in a way that could help Bishop Alvarez?
Pope Francis is a man that is loved across the world by people of all faiths, not only Catholic. His voice and what he says has an impact. And therefore, I think that his attention, his concern, his voice concern for Bishop Alvarez and for his life will have an impact. Daniel Ortega is losing support in Nicaragua, Rosario Murillo every day more. There was recently a poll that showed that the people of Nicaragua, 70% of the people at least believe that Monsignor Alvarez is innocent and should be released. As of now, I mean, you know, you have to understand what's happened in Nicaragua. Political opponents have been expelled, were not allowed to participate in the last election or in any election that could ever take place in Nicaragua. Students have been persecuted, put in jail, including the woman that hosted, that organized the Miss Nicaragua. Her family is in jail today in Nicaragua. Can you imagine even a beauty contest, a person in Nicaragua that organized a beauty contest? But we're talking about pre Luis, we're talking about the nuns from Mother Teresa, we're talking about more than 3,500 NGOs have been stripped of the legal status, and most of them has been their possessions have been confiscated. More than 18 universities has been closed in Nicaragua and has been confiscated, including the most prominent university, which is the Catholic University, the UCA, the Universidad Centroamericana, which exists in other places, a very prominent university. Students who protested for the confiscation are today in jail in Nicaragua. I mean, I have so many students who were in jail, who are now being expelled, who were stripped of the nationality, but as well, the worst and so cruel that they do not allow them to have their exams, the result of their exam, so they can not easily go into another university. They will have to start from the very beginning. So the cruelty, the malevolence of this couple, I mean, we are like a North Korea country. The UN has no access. There is no Amnesty International is not allowed into Nicaragua. Human rights organization, there is no check and balance. No one is there to report what is happening inside the country. Only those who have the courage to put information on social media. But of course, the Russians are helping Daniel Ortega so that they have ways of deciphering how you communicate on WhatsApp. So people, even on WhatsApp, you know that you've been listened to. People are frightened, including the people that work for the government, who are now also being stripped of the passport and are frightened to be in the country, and that they know that because the passport have been withheld, that they cannot escape the country. And we have more, probably nearly a million people who have fled the country in Nicaragua. This is a country of only 6 million inhabitants.
Bianca, thank you for being a voice for a martyr bishop. Thank you for speaking up so enthusiastically on his behalf. If people listening to the podcast want to do anything, obviously the first thing they can do is to pray, but also you've informed them about what the issues are, lie behind it. Is there anything that they can do beyond prayer and beyond trying to bring some kind of publicity to the fate of both the Catholic Church and of Bishop Alvarez in Nicaragua?
I think that perhaps if people could write to the embassies, go to the embassies of Nicaragua and express their rejection, their opposition to the martyrdom of Monsignor Alvarez. I hope the people that listen to you will support the Bianca Jagger Human Rights Foundation, which is a very small organization, so that we can continue doing a campaign in support of Monsignor Alvarez, in support of political prisoners in Nicaragua, and of the people of Nicaragua. But I think that as well, it will be good perhaps that they appeal to His Holiness Pope Francis to perhaps pray and speak up on behalf of Monsignor Alvarez, and that the bishops and of the Catholic Church and the parishes, the Catholics in Nicaragua, which are being persecuted today and who are frightened to even go to a church. And I will say, not enthusiastically, my voice is not. My voice and what I feel is I feel a profound fear for the life of Monsignor Rolando Alvarez Lago. I fear for what this regime could do to him, like what similar to what happened in El Salvador a few years ago.
Bianca, thank you for speaking up for him. Thank you for your witness for the Catholic Church. And I'm sure that people will carry your voice to Pope Francis, and we have to pray that he'll bring some of his influence to bear in this enormously important matter. Thank you for your Human Rights Foundation, and thank you too for taking the time to talk to us on Monsignor Alvarez's behalf today. Bless you.